Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, and today we're reading from the Big Book on page 28, the first two paragraphs. We're beginning with, here was the terrible dilemma, and we'll go all the way through a design for living that really works. Today's readers are Kimberly G. on the steps, Penny C. will be reading the traditions, Sally A. will be reading our text, Marjo will be closing us out with a vision for you, and Judith S.B. is in the background waiting to help. We also have Reva P., she'll be greeting newcomers, and Jenny B. is our host for the second hour, and everybody is in the house. The reference numbers for yesterday, the Tuesday 7 a.m. meeting, are 23326, and the 10 a.m. is 23327. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Kimberly G., could you read our 12 steps?
Good morning. This is Kimberly G., a recovering overeater here in Montana. And I'm here to read the 12 steps. Thank you for allowing me to serve. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives would become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked ourselves to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and for the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in our affairs. Thank you, and thank you for allowing me to serve.
Great. Thanks so much, Kimberly G. And Penny C., would you read our traditions today?
Good morning. Thank you, Barbara. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Penny C. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll want to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again so we have a nice quiet meeting. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And we also, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So today, though, we'll be resuming our study of the Big Book, and we'll be on page 28, the first paragraph, Here Was the Terrible Dilemma, and we'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending with A Design for Living That Really Works. Ask Sally A. to start us reading. Thanks, Sally.
Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. in New York. I'm so happy to be home. Here was the terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself when he had the extraordinary experience, which, as we have already told you, made him a free man. We, in our turn, sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or, if you prefer, a design for living that really works. That's page 28 at the top of the page for those just coming in. So, you know, I thought about this. First of all, I just want to remind people that this is the first chapter that was written in the entire Big Book. The very first chapter that they wrote was There Is a Solution. So they poured their hearts out, and it's almost as if they've created a draft for the Big Book in this one chapter. They're presenting so much material, and what they're presenting to us here is a lot of material just in these paragraphs. What seemed at first a flimsy read, what are they telling us? If we go forward and say has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God, if we look at just that part of this these paragraphs, flimsy read versus the hand of God. A flimsy read is something you can't really grab. It's just flimsy as opposed to the hand of God. And, you know, this reminds me of my story over 40 years in this program. I spent many years using OA as a group support, and it worked. The group support worked. It gave me structure. It gave me people to hold my hand, people to run to when I struggled. But it didn't get me recovered, and it didn't get me to the place I am today where I hear this still small voice of my higher power leading and guiding me through my day. I spent years beyond the group support looking to the big book as if it was the Holy Grail. Once I finally realized that it was about the 164 pages, the instruction manual, that it was about the 12 steps that led me up this ladder to a higher power, I focused intensely on this big book, on this instruction manual. It too, as one precious friend of mine says, it was the treasure map that led to my higher power, the hand of God. And so I really want to end by talking about how in the middle of this page where we're heading, it will tell us that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship. That is the term recovered is referring to that. And right across the page on page 29, about seven lines down, it says, the way he established his relationship with God. Keeping in mind, this is a foundation chapter for this book. This is a foundation key for becoming recovered, developing a relationship with our higher power. Thanks for letting me share with that. I pass.
Oh, thanks for getting us started, Sally A. So I'll go ahead and take a list of names. And again, just a reminder, if you've shared in the last 3 days, please hold back and let others share. But who would like to share on this paragraph?
Nicole S.
Nicole. Maura
Z. Suzanne M. Pennsylvania.
Gotcha.
Lisa C.
Christina
Lisa.
L.
Christina L. Great, and you guys are being so great about one at a time. I know that's so hard to do. I have Nicole S., Maura Z., Suzanne M., Lisa C., Christina L. Anybody else want to add to this first list?
Sue?
Okay. And two last initial. We'll come back to you. Okay, well, let's get started right there. So, Nicole S., you'll get us started, followed by Maura Z.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you for your service. And I think of, you know, he was in this terrible dilemma in the previous page, you know, where the doctor said, you know, I've never seen one case recover, and he needed to have a vital spiritual experience. And I have found that so true that, you know, coming into program and being just absolutely hopeless and having a relationship with my loving and powerful creator, but still not relying on him and not thinking that he – but thinking this was too small of a deal for him to help me, and that this was I just needed to try harder. He had bigger things to think about, But I have found through this program that God really, really cares about my recovery, and he wants me to be recovered so I can serve him by serving others and helping others and doing his work. And I need to rightly relate to him and ask him what he has for me, not what I think I should do for the day. And when it says here, loving and powerful, those are two amazing things, because my God is loving. He absolutely loves me, but he's powerful enough to help me with this illness also. And I can say a new life has been given me, a design for living. Not that life is easier or anything, but I have a design for living now where I can hand things over to God, and God can give me his love and power to help with anything. I'm so grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole S. Morrissey, you are up, and you'll be followed by Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. And everybody, just let us know where you're calling from in case somebody wants to find you on the members list.
Good morning, Barbara. Morrissey, gratefully recovered. I'm in Virginia on the East Coast. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. I had no design for living, and I didn't have God in my life. I'm sure he was there, but I didn't acknowledge him. I didn't seek him. I didn't ask for his help. I was running my life all on my own power, which was basically running it amok. This program brought me through the 12 steps, and the 12 steps brought me to God. That's how I got to him. That's how I got to create a relationship, albeit it's not as strong and as powerful as I would like it to be, but that's on me, not on him. But his loving and powerful hand has definitely guided me in a new way of living, a way of living that is not so self-centered, that is not always me, 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 but I tend to now look to see how may I serve others, whether it's at home or at work, or it's at the grocery store or at the gas station, doesn't matter. That's what I've learned out of letting myself get closer to a higher power, is that I don't have to do it all on my own. I'm not alone. I have his help with me at all times. All I need to do is seek, and he is there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Maura Z. Suzanne M., you're up, and you'll be followed by Lisa C.
Good morning, everyone. Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Grateful to be here, grateful to be recovered, grateful for this meeting and everyone that makes it possible. You know, the loving hand of God. So first of all, you know, I've had a good morning, I've meditated, I've prayed, and I'm on this meeting, and the read just fills my heart. And thank you so much for all the shares, but especially Sally A. for that opening share. You know, the loving hand of God, he comes to me, he helps me, and when I start my day, so what I want to talk about is consistency, because that's what has worked for me, consistency, and I'd been slipping and sliding over the last few weeks. I'm coming up on a year, and of course, I know I'm like in self-sabotage mode, so what did I do? I just recommitted, and this meeting is really a big part of me with consistency, getting on this meeting every day, starting my day, almost every day, starting my day this way, and talking to God throughout the day and just trying to be in service to him, following my food plan, doing that 10th step every night, not just when I feel like it. And I've really just made it like part, everything is part of the routine. My husband now tells me a half hour before we go to bed, go up and do your thing. so that I won't be disturbing him when he comes up. I mean, it's a way of life. And the other thing I just wanted to share is, you know, on my 10-step journal every night, I always write, you know, what do I want to do today, or what's my goal? And I've started, I heard in a meeting list a couple weeks ago, give more, take less. And since I've made that my daily affirmation, my life is really good. My food's in place. I eat my meals as they're written down, and I'm fine. And everything's good, and I'm spiritually good, and I'm a good mother, and I'm a good wife, and I'm a good employee. And these things, there's a lot of I'ms there, but they are all through the grace of God. None of those things I do alone. They have all been given to me, and I am blessed through higher power, the steps, and the meeting and support from all of you. I love you all, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. And anybody just joining us, I'll just remind you where we are. We're on page 28, the first two paragraphs, beginning with, here was the terrible dilemma, and ending with a design for living that really works. So Lisa C., you're up, and you'll be followed by Christina L.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm not a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And I'm really grateful to say that today. I'm really grateful that I could be honest with my sponsor and that I can be honest with all of you, because my disease has only ever wanted me to show up here recovered. And anytime I struggled, I left, and I left twice. And that's not what happened this time, and it's not because of anything I did. It's really because God has, I think, created a chain reaction of transformations within me that have allowed me to become a little bit freer. But I'm not free, and I really, really need the design for living, because I don't know why. I have tried to maintain my spiritual condition without being rigorous in the program. Not even because I want to, but because of circumstances that then I think warrant a change in my, you know, daily practices of like shortening my meditation time, not making as many outreach calls, not getting to this meeting live, which I really couldn't for a couple of months because of some work changes. But at first I was listening to the recordings and listening live when I could, and then before I knew it, I was missing a lot, and I was, you know, talk about a flimsy reed. I mean, I don't really know. I was like doing the doggy paddle in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and thinking that, you know, God was just going to send like a boat down, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. I have heard it said on this line that I have to do what I can do, right? Serenity prayer is about like controlling the things that I can, right? And releasing the rest. And I think that, like, you know, whatever I think about surrender, there's also this other layer of trust that I think for me is sometimes really missing, because I start to confine God into a smaller shape. But truthfully, I'm just grateful that I can be honest that I lost what I think was recovery, but maybe really wasn't. Maybe, you know, it was a brief taste of what recovery could look like, but there's more to be revealed. And I think that, you know, that loving and powerful hand of God, allowing myself to be a seeker today and to not really think that I've got it, because I really don't. And also just want to be honest about how much I really, really didn't think that I needed to weigh and measure and consistently commit my food, that I could handle it. I really can't. And so I am sharing gratitude for my food scale.
Hi.
Because I actually really hate it. and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks so much, Lisa C. Great to hear you. Christina L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sue.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I love the bookends. Here was the terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself, and a new life has been given us, or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. So these last couple of days have been bringing me back to 2021, my second significant relapse. And coming out of that relapse, I was filled with so much anger and rage. And it was all at God for making me a compulsive overeater, for giving me the life that I have, for all these things, and that my religion did not save me from it. And I'm not going to go into that part too much, but that was the experience I had. And I finally had to come to the realization and the acceptance that I was so angry at God. And I was taught that I couldn't be angry at God, that it was not nice to be angry, that it wasn't a good thing to be angry. But what I have been taught through the experience of God and through outside support and even in these rooms is that, you know, my anger is speaking to me about something that needs to be dealt with. That experience was the first time that I ever put God on my resentment list, that I ever like really cried out to God, like, why? There was just so much emotion that came out of it. And, wow, I wasn't expecting to get emotional about it now, but, that was what, you know, before it was the flimsy read. And then, you know, I was able to come into this new relationship with God and be honest, not just with myself, but with Him. I call it Him because that's just what I've always called it. And it's just easier to call it that. I don't know if it's a Him, she, or it, but that's what I use. And, you know, this design for living next week, exactly a week from today, I will be leaving to chaperone 16 teenagers, driving the vehicle to take them to their competition for my son's school. And I am absolutely terrified. You know, God called me to this service. This was not something that I sought. And his teacher asked me if I would be willing and told me that I would have to drive the van. And I'm like, well, I don't really feel comfortable driving the van, but whatever you need me to do, I'm happy to do and stuff. And she told me, you will need to drive the van. So I did tell her yes. And, you know, this morning I was just getting clear, like, okay, what are the fears that are coming up? There's four or five fears that I've identified that are coming up. And it's only through this program that I'm able to use what really works for me, and that is to do the 10 steps on every single one and turn it over to God and be of service. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Christina L. And Sue, you're up next. After Sue, we're going to be taking another list of names.
Hi, this is Sue, and I am very grateful to hear everyone and the reading, and I haven't been in this program for a while. excuse me. but the visual of a reed in the water is like how I've been feeling and actually kind of fraying the reed. And so it was kind of comforting to be identified and to also know that there's a plan that works, and I'm looking forward and trying to be a part of that. So thank you so much for everything.
Oh, thanks, Sue. Do you want to give us your last initial or where you're from, just in case anybody wants to find you on the members list? All right. Well, we'll keep moving along. Who else would like to share? We can take
I'll share.
Probably at least six or seven.
Who's
this?
Kimberly K.
Mary
Kimberly
K.
G. Mary.
Harlan G.
Harlan.
Kimberly K.
Okay, got it.
I didn't need it.
Kimberly K. Jessica C. So far, I have Kimberly K., Mary K., Harlan G., Jessica C. Am I missing anybody?
Rachel H.
Rachel H. Plenty of time. Who else? Anybody else? All right, well, let's start there, and then we'll have a couple more minutes to go. So, Kimberly Kay, you are up, followed by Mary Kay. Kimberly, star one.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kimberly Kay. I'm from New Hampshire, and I'm a grateful, recovering food addict. This paragraph, these few sentences pierce me, how true and how I relate to them. When I was in the food, and I've been there for years, but I've been in OA three times before now. I suppose now is my third time back. It was a terrible dilemma, even though I was aware of 12-step recovery. I had never drowned or never dove into recovery the way I have since October. Being abstinent for me is it makes me cry. It's really overwhelming. And I do believe that, I do believe, and it's becoming more and more evident as the months go on, how piercing the remembering when for me, you know, in AA, it's your last drunk. Well, with this, remembering when, remembering those habits I had, that illness that I continue to be reminded that I have. It's really not had, but that last sort of thinking of how I would do the food thing. And so to come around, find a sponsor who holds my hand through the power of God, and that is key. A new life has been given me if I prefer a design for living. And as many of y'all say, this big book study is, again, piercing. It is so fantastic. So it's Kimberly Kay from New Hampshire, who's a bit dramatic and in love with recovery. So I pass.
Thanks, Kimberly Kay. Love the passion. Mary Kay, you are up, and Harlan G., you're going to be following.
Good morning, everybody. Just to clarify, Mary Kay is my first name. My first initial of my last name is G, so it's Mary Kay G., and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for everyone being here tonight. Wow. I can't even believe how everything has lined up for me today to really sort of smack me over my head and talk about my new design for living. I have been slipping the last couple of days and broke my abstinence, and I was at two meetings last night, and I got up early this morning, and I thought I better jump on a vision for you. And prior to jumping on, I rewrote out my food plan and rewrote out my action plan. And then I show up to this meeting and we talk about a design for living, which I have just rewritten after I did my morning prayers. And I'm struck by the flimsy read, which has proved to be loving and powerful. And I'm sitting here thinking, the flimsy read for me this morning is the meeting. I'm like, I just had this sense. I was like, just get on a vision for you. And I'm like, I went to a meeting last night. Actually, I went to two meetings last night. And then the flimsy read is being on a call with people who are committed. And it doesn't seem like that would make any difference in my life. And it ends up being a very powerful, loving hand. And I feel God come true to me through this meeting, and I'm so grateful I got on. I'm just sort of blown away that what I heard in the meetings last night was about getting my action plan and a design for living. And I show up today and that's exactly what we're reading on page 28. So I am very grateful. I feel so happy that I can jump on and, you know, I tell my sponsor, look, I'm honest, open and willing. I broke my abstinence. I'm willing to recommit, that I can say this to a group of people and feel unjudged and loved. And just God is like, okay, what's the next right thing to do? Let's do it. So thank you all for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Mary Kay G. Thanks. Harlan G., you are up next, and you're going to be followed
thank
by
you.
Jessica.
Thank you very much. And if you could be ungentle with your reminder, I would appreciate it because I'm outdoors and there's police and fire department rolling by here. Anyway.
Absolutely.
thank you. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. What happens between the flimsy reed and the powerful hand of God? How does that work? Should I sit here and pray? That's a little bit of it. Yeah, that's the prayer's part of it. Should I go to meetings? Well, that's part of it, no doubt. Should I just contemplate my navel? Well, that may be part of it, but that never got me far. For me, maybe I'm different, I don't know. I have to work my tuchus off. What do I mean by that specifically? I take a lot of phone calls. I take and make a lot of phone calls. I answer a lot of questions. Sometimes I have to. God has given me ample information that part of my job here on earth is to answer the same questions 82,000 times. What's the difference between recovered and recovering? What's the difference between abstinence and a food plan? What's the difference between this and that? That's part of it. I have to work my butt off. I have to do whatever it is in front of me because this is not a program for people who need it. This is not a program for people who want it. This is a program for people who do it. And the transition between a flimsy reed and the powerful hand of God does not come from what God is or what God isn't. It comes from my actions. And that I'm cultivating a field. And if I don't work at it, I will not have a yield. I will not have a crop. And the harder I walk to God, the more he runs to me. I walk to God and he runs to me. He whispers on an ember of my heart and it bursts into flame so that for the very first time in my life, decades ago, I transitioned between somebody who wanted to die desperately and to somebody who wants to live and enjoys every day and does a gratitude list. And I'm going to live right up to the time I die. I'm going to live until I die. And because of this program and because of a God who loves me, for the very only time in my life, I have tasted what it's like to be alive because of this program, this way of life, these 12 steps, and it is indeed a way of life that works in rough going. It works in rough going. Thank you. And it works in good going. And I hope that you guys, if you celebrate, I hope you have a nice holiday. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for the ungentle reminder. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Harlan G. Jessica C., you're up. And you'll be followed by Rachel H.
Hi, thank you. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I wanted to share about the dilemma. I remember feeling this way, like, can I really trust that this unknown higher power can really help me with my disease of compulsive eating. You know, if God can really help me with this, then why now? And why didn't he help me before? Where was God in those really tough times in my life where I felt abandoned by God? And, you know, what even is this God thing anyway? Like, what am I even turning my life over to? What does that even mean? These ideas just felt really hard to grasp and insubstantial and flimsy. And, you know, worldly solutions, just like diets and counseling and medication and exercise, they just seemed more concrete and I could grasp how they could help me. But they didn't help me. That's the thing. They didn't help. Each of those solutions became less and less effective over time. And I even abused some of these solutions in ways that harmed me. So this powerful hand of God, you know, I have 5 years of abstinence. So grateful for that. And it, for most of my life, like that just seemed like the food seemed like such a deep and complex problem that I knew I was incapable of dealing with. But it was during the process of working the steps and entire abstinence where this deep, complex problem was just removed. It's almost like the idea was like surgically removed from me. It just, the idea of going out and getting my binge foods during the day, which always occurred, the idea just stopped happening in my head. And that's, you know, the powerful hand of God. And, you know, today when it comes to my character defects, I continue to experience this. You know, I've had a profound shift with fear and anxiety, you know, something that again dogged me for so long and still does, but I have felt a significant change and reduction in that. And I have to work my butt off, just like was just shared, for this to happen. I have to constantly pick up the spiritual toolkit, but it's really worthwhile work. And you know, after this, as the sort of topper, this more surface layer of this fear and anxiety has been reduced, I realize that there's, you know, deeper layers with my character defects. I realize this deeper sense, pervasive sense of unworthiness that I feel. And again, it feels like I heard that. It's such a deep and complex problem, seems impossible to solve, just like the food. But I have hope today that God is powerful in this area too and able to help me and wants to help me. So I'll keep doing the work. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jessica C. Rachel H., you are up next. Let me remind everybody where we are, and we will have time for a couple more shares after Rachel will be taking another list. We are on page 28, the first two paragraphs, beginning with "Here was the terrible dilemma" and ending with "A design for living that really works." So Rachel, go right ahead.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rachel H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and restrictor. I apologize. My voice is a little funny. I have pneumonia right now, and I've been crying from another share, but I just wanted to come on and claim my seat and just speak to the powerful hand of God in recovery. Life is very much lifing, and I am very much abstinent and feeling everything. So it's been really tough lately, and I just feel so held and safe. And someone mentioned about anxiety and fear being reduced. Even though I'm walking through a very dark time, just multiple things keep happening. I know the love of God because of OA and because of 12 steps, and I feel held and safe. But currently, one of the things going on is my daughter is dealing with gallbladder issues. She's 17. She's one of us, though I'm not identifying her in any way, but struggles very deeply. And just watching her navigate the mental twist, while not being able to put anything really into her body right now, there's a lot of unknowns. We're not sure what's going on. It's so hard to watch someone you love go through the mental twist and not be able to literally physically do the behaviors that would take that pain away in the past. It's just been really, really hard to walk through it. I am walking through it, and I know God's got her like he's got me, but it is the most painful thing I've ever lived through, and I just wanted to come on and feel my fellowship. And I'm just really grateful I got to hear some other shares, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Rachel H. All right. Yeah, we're all together. Okay, so we have time probably for at least three more shares. Who would like
Kim
those?
B.
Kim B.
Anna Yetta R.
Anna Yetta, gotcha.
Kim B. Tracy G.
Oh. Right, Kim B. And was that Tracy G?
Yes, ma'am.
Okie dokes. Let me stop there, and then we'll see if we have a minute or two for anybody else. So, Kim B., you're up, followed by Hanietta R., and then Tracy G. Kim, go right ahead. Kim, star one.
Thank you. Kim, Kim B. from Connecticut, very grateful to be here. I've been attending these meetings, not for long. Couple years ago, I joined some meetings, and I just didn't like them. So I went to the meetings I'd been going to and following a food plan that was Gracie and wasn't working for me. Before this, in this paragraph before it, it says that in his case, he did not get the necessary vital spiritual experience. And for years, and I started OA in 87, I always put my food plan, my sponsor first. I just, you know, in the past little while, I've been failing. And it talks about his dilemma. I was highly suggested to go to a dietitian and get a food plan designed for me. And honestly, I never did it the whole time. I went to see a dietitian. I was so angry at the food plan that she gave me. I was praying all night, please God, help me follow this food plan. Please help me have the willingness to follow the food plan. I'm so mad. I was just saying all this stuff. I wrote my food down. I got up in the morning and it was like a miracle. I felt like, okay, I'm following this. I need that spiritual experience. Otherwise, I will kill myself with this disease. So I just also want to put I had gone to a step one workshop that really helped me. I never realized that I was in the doctor's opinion and that to get out of my dilemma, I needed to follow this simple, well, it's not very simple, this plan of living, this design for living. And I hope to God, you know, that I keep going because of myself. I am nothing. The last thing, you know, I got up this morning. I got on my knees. I haven't really been getting on my knees. And the prayer that came to me was the one I know by heart. And in the prayer, it didn't say anything about I. It's, you know, nothing about I. And it's all about the steps. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I never realized. So I'm going to keep coming. I don't like to share, but I figure that's how I'm going to recover, is to share where I'm at. So thank you, and I pass.
Well, thanks, Kim B. from Connecticut. Kania, so you're up, and you'll be followed by Tracy G.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. This is Hanna Yetta R. My name starts with a C-H. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Texas, Plano, Texas. First, I want to welcome all the newcomers or people struggling And I really like outreach calls, and if ever anybody wants to call me if you're struggling, I would take your call. Whenever I think about the flimsy reed, I think about when Moses in the Bible was put in the Nile, not denial, the Nile, into the reeds, and the daughter of the Pharaoh, who was trying to kill all the boys, found him. And the story has it that she reached out her arm and it stretched all the way into the water and was able to grab him and keep him for his own. And that to me is like the best thing I can think of, is being in a flimsy reed and having the hand of God reach out and catch me and take me into safety. And I think of that every time we read this. It's just, to me, incredible. And so I know that God has reached his hand out to me and gotten me many, many times. I have lost 115 pounds, and now I've had that off for quite a while. And I'm just so excited to be in this program. I've been working very, very hard. I can barely move my arms and my back from cooking and cleaning so much. And but anybody who's going to be celebrating Passover tonight, and I won't be back on now until I wish you a good Passover.
How'd you do?
And I won't be able to get back on until Monday now. So I just wanted to share and tell everybody that I love them and that I'm so glad I'm here.
5.6. I told you.
Right. And there is somebody that's saying something.
Sorry, yeah. We do have a gentleman who's unmuted. Please mute.
Sorry, I was trying not to say anything. But anyway, I'm with that, I just don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, guys. Don't quit. Everybody has them. I see them every day. And if I can see miracles, if you look, you'll see miracles. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday. Everybody should have a great holiday coming up. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Donietta R. from Texas, and sorry about that interruption. Tracy G., you are up. Would you like to share?
Good morning. Tracy G. from North Carolina, recovering food addict. I like these two paragraphs. Seemed to be a reed that was growing. Growing in the water, just like me. Fragile, flimsy, unstable, weak. You know, this plant is in water, and the wind blows, and sometimes it's above the water, sometimes it's below, it's breaking off, it's easily shaken, just like me. My story is relapsing. I am a recovering food addict. I'm in step one. I not only admit that I am accepting that I am powerless when binging my brains out, and my life is always unmanageable, especially in my relationships. I do have this physical allergy of the body and this obsession of the mind. And to be honest, it all stems as a food addict of my delusions and my defiance and great, great depression. Thank God. I believe that God is gentle. I believe that he's merciful. He doesn't give me what I deserve. And I deserve a lot of difficult things, the wrong decisions I've made in my life. But he's also extremely loving and powerful. And I do believe that he's inviting me to this new way of life with him. And so in step one, I'm coming. And I think he's ready to receive me because he is good and he is gracious. And the best part about it for me is, as a chronic relapser, he is so patient. And today, here's what I know. God and abstinence are the main things, the most important things in my life, without exception. Everything else will fall if I don't keep those things first. I believe that God loves me, and because of this fact, I am trusting this recovery process with my sponsor, going through the steps, doing the work, listening, letting him guide and instruct me and following her direction and seeking his presence and power just for today. Because here's the truth. My way of life, my way of doing things was utterly foolish. And I need a new way of living. And I believe that it will come when I seek him. Thanks for letting me share. Tracy from North Carolina. Tracy G. from North Carolina.
Tracy, thanks so much. Tracy G. from North Carolina. Alrighty, and you'll be our last share for the morning. Thank you to everyone who shared. We've had such great shares today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Marge O. please come in and read that for us? We'll be reading A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and ending with Keep You Until Then.
Good morning, Marge O. from Massachusetts. Grateful member. And then, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning prayer meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Yes.